Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. You'll find it on page 376 if you're looking in your pew Bibles, but the Psalm 23. And we have been on for the past few weeks a series in the names of God, and we began by looking at what I would call the foundational name, and that's Jehovah. And we saw that whenever you're looking, many translations, when you look at the translation, if you see the word Lord, but it's in all caps. You've probably noticed in the past, if you've been paying any attention, that it's sometimes Lord is L-O-R-D, all caps, and sometimes Lord is just the L capped, and the difference is, and when it's all caps, it's Jehovah. And just in a real quick way of explaining it, Jehovah is defined as the self-existent one who is eternal, and we spent a great deal of time talking about his might and his power and Jehovah Elohim and all that that intended. And then we looked at the word Lord with capital L, the only one in caps, and we said that's the word Adonai. And we talked about the differences between that. And in a simplified explanation, just like Jehovah being a very simplified, I mean, we spent at least an entire message or message and a half just looking at Jehovah and all that it meant. That in a simplified way as well, that when you see Lord, just the L caps is Adonai, and it means really Lord of all. And there's a difference between being Jehovah, who was the self-existent eternal one, and Lord, who really is Lord of everything, who has created everything, he is above everything, and is his headship of everything. And we talked and spent a great deal about defining all that that meant to us. And is Jehovah really our Lord, and is Adonai our Lord? And we submitted to him, and we saw there was great significance in the different names of God. And when you see Jehovah, and of course you'll see it as Lord, capital L-O-R-D, understand when you see that, there's something significant happening, and there's often a name next to it or close to it that is associated with it. And it's very important. And so we saw that if Jehovah is the one that created all the heavens and all the earth and all that there is and all that's magnificent, if he was able to do that and speak all of that into existence, then when he puts a name next to Jehovah to declare who he is able to sustain that name and accomplish all that needs to be accomplished in that name. And he's chosen to give himself. And we said that God chose to give himself names to reveal his character and his nature to us. And we've said if he was just God, and meaning if we only understood him as God, we'd only know that he's God. He's just God. He's huge. He's magnificent. But then when he says, for example, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, and we'll look at that in weeks to come, that he's very significant. Of Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides for us, that he says Jehovah is able to provide for you. And so he reveals himself. And then we said that he has chosen not only to reveal himself in his names, but he has chosen to hold himself accountable to that name. So as we look through these different names and God proclaims he is a Jehovah Jireh, our provider, or whatever it may be, that he will hold himself accountable to that. And so we find ourselves this morning in Psalm 23, and it's actually a wonderful psalm. And it's a psalm that really, outside of the message of the names of God, we've covered in a couple different ways over the years because it's a wonderful psalm. And so often we'll think of Psalm 23 as we look through it, and we'll think, well, that's a funeral psalm. You hear that at funerals. And understand, rightfully so, I could see the application. But it was not written for funerals, it's written for the living. It's a psalm that's meant for us to take something significant from it each and every time that we look at it. So let's look at it this morning. It's just six verses. We'll kind of read it here this morning. And Psalm 23, verse 1 says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And when we're looking at this morning, the very first verse says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that Lord there would be Jehovah. And shepherd is Rohi, so the Lord is my shepherd would be Jehovah Rohi. And the same Lord, the same Jehovah that spoke the worlds into existence, the same Jehovah that is self-existent, that needs nobody else, the same Jehovah that is eternal, has decided and declared to call himself your shepherd, to be a shepherd. Now, David wrote this psalm, and I think that's pretty significant because there's special meaning to it. David understood what it meant to be a shepherd. He knew a little something about being a shepherd. Even though, you know, we live in a rural community and we have farms around us, we may see a sheep here or there, but we don't really have any shepherds that we would think of as they would have back then. And we don't really understand all there is to understand about sheep or being a shepherd. But the word here, and specifically in this psalm and other places, gives us a wonderful understanding into the insight of David's understanding of being a shepherd. And so, for example, we all remember the story of David and Goliath. And the Philistines had come against Israel and the army, and they were getting ready to do battle, and this giant Goliath would come out every day and taunt them and say, bring your best man forward, and this will decide the fight. And nobody would go against Goliath. And young little David, who was out tending his sheep, we know the story. He comes forward and says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? How dare he defile the armies of our God? And so he begins to declare why he should be the one to go after him. Now, he'd been out tending his father's sheep. He went to see the men because his father said, go and check and see what's going on with the men. And he goes there and he sees all this happening. And he's amazed that nobody would go up against this Goliath. All these mighty men of valor. And here's this little young shepherd boy. And he comes forward. And so he presents his case as to why he should be the one that should go forward. And now, as we read this, I'm going to read this to you. But think about, here is David as a shepherd coming to stand against Goliath. And so he understands what it means to be a shepherd. And here's part of his understanding. And it goes in 1 Samuel 17, starting at verse 34. I'll just read it to you. But David said to Saul, your servant, meaning himself, used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by a beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord, meaning Jehovah, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. See, David had an understanding that a true shepherd protects his sheep at all costs. I mean, he went after. And you can imagine if you're, a shepherd and this is your father's sheep, and we don't know how many sheep he had. He's out there, a bunch of sheep, and a lion comes and takes the sheep. You'd be thinking, well, have a nice lunch. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? Or a bear? And he said, no, I went out after it. I grabbed it by a beard and I struck it. See, he knew that it was his job as a shepherd to protect the sheep, to watch over them, no matter what the cost. And when he saw a predator come and take one of the sheep, he went after it and struck it down. So I said he knew something about being a shepherd, and when he penned this psalm under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it has great significance that he would say, the Lord is my shepherd. You understand what he's saying with that? He knew what it was to be a shepherd. He says, when I have a problem, the Lord is my shepherd. He treats me and sees me as I saw these sheep. And David knew that the God that he was talking about would be a loving and a protective shepherd as he was as well. And so Jehovah Rohi, the Lord your shepherd, he doesn't sit around and wait to see what's going to happen when trouble comes your way. And so often we feel that. We think, well, you know, we've got all these problems and God's just kind of hanging out to see how we're going to handle it. And that said, when you have difficulties, you are to call on God. You are to go after God and not to just sit back and say, well, you know, I'll see what God's going to do. But there's a side to it that when you're in problems or danger, that God goes out after the trouble. It's just as David went out, he said, I will strike down this predator. Listen to one of Jesus' parables. He said this in Matthew 18. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? Well, that was the heart of Christ. And if God is that persistent over you when you are a sinner, And that's the understanding of that parable. When you have strayed from God, or when you've never met God and you were a child of God and you've fallen in sin and you've strayed and you're not born again, God would go out after you and try to draw you into the kingdom of God. And if he's that much persistent over you when you're a sinner, would he not be more so when you're a child of God? When not all of it he said, this is my child. I will hold myself accountable to this person being my child. And no more so, I will call myself their shepherd. I will watch over them. I will protect them at all times. There's so wonderful revelations of the privileges of God having your shepherd, of God being your shepherd here in this psalm. And this psalm reveals many of them. And yet there's an understanding where it all starts. There's an understanding of what this depends upon. And maybe this is where we struggle at times. Maybe this is where we miss it at times. We say, well, you know, I'm having all these problems and it seems like God is nowhere. What's up with this? I mean, I gave a few bucks in an offering last week. I went to church twice this month. Where's God? I mean, we kind of have that attitude. You know what I'm saying? And we have to be careful with that. And it starts out, notice David's confession right from the start. Jehovah is my shepherd. Jehovah. Not some vague God. Jehovah. The Lord, the self-existent, eternal God is my shepherd. And in very much the same way that you can acknowledge there is a God, and many people will acknowledge. When you go out and take a survey in the streets, and they do it all the time, and they say, how many people believe in God? Well, I believe in God. Yeah, there's a God. But that God that that person is proclaiming may not be their God. And you can say, yeah, there is a God, but there's a big difference between saying there is a God and saying he is my God. I mean, now I'm submitted to him. It goes back to what we looked at, Lord Adonai. He's not only Lord of everything, not only Lord of all lords, King of kings, but he's my Lord. In the same way here, David is saying, God, Jehovah, calls himself a shepherd, but he's my shepherd, and he'll watch over me. And so I think it's important that we acknowledge that Jehovah is our Rohi, our shepherd, that he's significant in our lives, and he's personally your shepherd. And Adonai is your Lord by submitting to his will. He is your shepherd by submitting to his leading. And understand what that means. Lord Adonai, he's Lord of all. He's Lord of everything, Lord of lords. And so we say, well, yeah, God, Jesus is Lord. But then all of a sudden we say, no, wait a minute. Jesus is my Lord. And if Jesus is my Lord, he's in charge of all that I do and all that I am. He's the head. He's my Lord. So if he's my Lord and I submit to his will for my life by being, he's being my Adonai. If he's my shepherd, what does a shepherd do? Lead. Guide, provide. And so I'm submitted now to Jehovah Rohi by submitting to his leading in my life, to looking for him to be the one to tell me what to do and how to handle the things of my life and to provide for me. A shepherd is in charge of the sheep, and the sheep fully rely on the shepherd for every provision. Every provision. And David's acknowledging God as a shepherd wasn't lost on Christ. And that's interesting because David penned this psalm many years before that. But John 10:10, Jesus said this, talking about himself. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Now, when Jesus penned this, it was during a time, I said, if we go out here and drive around Geauga County, we won't find too many sheep and we'll struggle finding a shepherd if we find any at all, you know. But the people that heard it in time, they knew what a shepherd was. They understood all the shepherd's responsibilities. And Jesus comes along and said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Talk about a committed shepherd willing to give his life. I mean, you know, I'm a good shepherd. I take good care of the sheep. I feed them and I water them and, you know, I try to watch over them. I count them when they come back at night and I get them ready for the shearer. I'm a good shepherd. Well, we might think that'd be one definition. Jesus said, I'm a good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I will give my life. That's what it means to be a shepherd. And Jesus proved that, did he not? He gave his life for you. And so when we look at, we say, Jehovah Rohi is my shepherd. What does that mean? Christ gave his life for you. God will give his life. He'll do all that it means to protect you. In the passage before Jesus proclaimed he's a good shepherd in John 10, right before that he says, that's why he have come to give you life and life abundantly. He said, I've come that you may have life and have life abundantly. The thief came to what? Rob, kill, steal, and destroy. I've come to give you life and life abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. I will give my life for you. And then just a few verses later, listen to what he says here. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I don't know about you, but I love that verse. That's a promise that you can hear and know the voice of God in your life. My sheep. Well, what does it mean, my sheep? Well, is Jehovah your shepherd? Because that's what David said. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah is my shepherd. So when you proclaim God as your shepherd, you're saying, he's my shepherd. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Well, if God says that he knows you, he knows everything about you. He understands who you are. He knows your pains. He knows your joys. He knows your frustrations. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. He knows your personality. And he says, I know you, but because I know you and understand with me knowing you that I am the good shepherd, so my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I will lead them in the very best thing for their life because I know them. You know, as God leads me and he has directed me over the years, and many years ago, say, I wanted you to be in the ministry, and shortly after I was born again, and I'm like, what, are you kidding me? You know, I mean, that was the farthest thing from my mind, and if anybody knew me would think, yeah, right, that's a joke because of where I'd been in my life. But see, God knew me. He knew what I was created for. And so for him to pull somebody that has no calling on their life and say, well, you know what, let's see what works. Let's try it. Let's see if they're a pastor. Let's give it a shot. Well, no, because they weren't created in that. You understand what I'm saying with that? But he says, I know you. I know everything about you. And you have the ability to hear my voice. So I will guide you and direct you that what is the very best for you in the way that I've created for you. And whatever that may be, and whatever stage you find your life in. Some are young and they're saying, I'm just starting out in life and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do and how I'm going to make a living and maybe who I'm going to marry or where I'm going to go or where I'm going to live and trying to figure all that out. And God says, if you will submit to me, I will lead you, guide you, and protect you along the way. Chris and I have prayed for our children since the moment she was pregnant. We began to pray for their life and for their mates, believe it or not. Can you imagine that? We've prayed for their mates and still do from the moment we knew she was pregnant. And Jehovah says, if I am their shepherd, I will lead them in the very best. And others are sitting in life and going, well, you know, I'm not sure. I'm moving on in life. I'm getting up in life. And where do I go from here? And what do I do now? In every stage of your life, God says, I am the good shepherd. You can hear my voice. I know you. They follow me. The following verse says, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Well, see, that's a whole starting of being submitted to God, that you get eternal life through Christ. And through him, we know that we'll never perish, that we'll live eternally. We become so here and now focused, and understandably so. If we're going through a trial, if we're going through something difficult, and a crisis is coming to our life, here and now is very important to us, isn't it? And while God understands the here and now, and while he meets you in the here and now, he always has an eternal perspective. I give them eternal life, they shall never perish. And listen to the further verse, John 10, 27 through 30, if you're taking notes. I will give them eternal life, they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, we all hunger to have the hand of God in our lives, for lack of a better way of saying it. Amen? I mean, if we're praying for our children, Father, if your hand would be on their life, what does that mean? If your hand, if God's hand is on your child's life, that he watches over, that he protects, that he guides, that he does everything for them. And for ourselves personally, Lord, that your hand would be on my life. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That his hand is on your life, that he hasn't taken his hand off of you, that he's with you. But not only can we have God's hand on our life, God desires to hold your hand as you go through life. I'll give them eternal life to never perish, and nobody can snatch them out of my hand. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That the shepherd, the good shepherd, would proclaim this. That nobody can snatch the sheep out of my hand. Through every trial, through every victory, God is with you. No one, not the enemy, anybody can snatch you out of God's hand. And remarkably, Jesus said that no one is able to snatch them out of his hand. And then he says, no one's able to snatch them out of my Father's hand as well. That's like double protection, isn't it? Don't you grasp the significance of that? Why don't you try that to the devil, telling that to the devil, the next time he tries to overwhelm you with something. The next time you feel like you're overwhelmed in life and the enemy is just caving in and life circumstances are caving in, you say, you know what? My Father is holding my hand. My God, Lord Jesus, is holding my hand. And he is proclaimed to be my good shepherd, and you cannot snatch me out of God's hand. And if you want to get to me, you better go through God first. Amen? Because he's holding your hand. He's holding your hand. If you're walking down a street with your mate and as a man and your wife grabs your hand or you grab her hand, doesn't that give them a sense of security and oneness? I mean, if you see a man and a woman holding hand, you figure, well, they got to be together. I mean, I've never walked through the mall and walked up and grabbed some woman's hand and started walking and hold her hand. First of all, I'd be in big trouble, amen? You know? But it wouldn't be like, what's up with that? But if I'm holding my wife's hand and we're walking, it's like, well, they're together, but they're really together. And so when you're walking through life, the Father and the Son says, I'm holding your hand, and nobody can snatch them out of my hand. I'll tell you, when I'm going through the trials of life and something difficult happens, that brings me great comfort. And when I'm going through the joys of life and things are going wonderful and God has blessed me, I know he's right there with me and I rejoice in that. And the word snatch here in the Greek means to seize, to pull, or to take by force. There may be an enemy that tries to snatch you from God, but there's no force greater than Jehovah. There's no force greater than Jesus the Victor, and there is no force greater than God the Holy Spirit. It's not a controlling grip, not a dominating grip, not a demanding grip. It's the shepherd's grip, the good shepherd's grip, the loving, providing, protecting, guiding, caring, compassionate, concerned grip. And Jesus said he was the good shepherd. And you know, Jesus said, my Father gave me my sheep. And this wasn't lost on the original hearers. David, the writer of the 23rd Psalm, tended his father's sheep. So when David began to write Psalm 23, and he said, Jehovah is my shepherd. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. He's one that tended his father's sheep. And then Jesus said, God gave me these sheep, meaning us. David's life was committed to the sheep. Everything the sheep needed, David saw as his personal mission to provide it. Look at the first three verses of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Every morning, David would get up early, lead the flock from the fold, marching at the head to where they were to be pastured. Those sheep never got up in the morning without being led by David out to the pasture. They followed his leading. And it says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, this is not a forceful, you know, making. Lie down over here, that kind of a thing. It's not that. It's an enabling. That David would walk out and take his sheep out, and he would provide a place for them of green pastures. He caused it to happen by his leading. And he did it out of love and provision. David would never take the sheep, lead them out to a place of rocks and burned out grass, and say, here, have a nice day. I mean, he wouldn't consider doing that because he took being a shepherd very seriously. And so he took his sheep to the greenest pastures and lie down beside still waters. It's a picture of absolute provision. Everything that's needed for nourishment and comfort. And this is where we're able to proclaim, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jehovah Rohi is my shepherd, I shall not want. And this promise of God runs all through Scripture. All through Scripture. Listen to Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you have a need? Do you have a need? My God shall supply every need you have according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean, according to his riches and glory? I mean, you know, once in a while the kids will call at college or something, hey, Dad, can you transfer a few bucks? And now, if they have a little money left in their savings, that's where it'll get transferred from. But sometimes it's, hey, Dad, you got a few bucks, you know, and I'll help where I can. But sometimes you dig in the pocket and you go, well, I can't help a whole lot this week. You all been there? You know, I can only do so much. You know, what do you need, a couple bucks? And God says that my God shall supply every need you have according to his riches. What riches does God have? Everything, Lord of all. Cattle on 1,000 hills. That's a bunch of cattle. Sell a couple cattle, Lord, whatever it takes. But he'll supply every need you have according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it means lack, it means need. I shall not have need. And if you've lived through difficult times, and we all have to some extent or another, Chris and I have learned there's a big difference between a want and a need. You know, when you go through something really difficult, all of a sudden you begin to understand that some of you things that you think are needs are really wants. You know, we don't need half of the stuff we have. We have so much stuff that some of us have to go out and rent a storage place to put our stuff. Or we put a shed up in the back because our garage is no longer big enough. And we have stuff. But God said, I will provide every need that you have. Now, I have been blessed in my life, and I have found that not only does God often supply your needs, that when you're submitted to his will, you get a lot of the wants too. Amen? But he says, I'll supply your needs, and there's a difference. But how does he look at your need? Well, I'll give you the bare essential. You know, a loaf of bread and a cup of water a day, that'll get you by. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying he's going to give you every possible thing you'd ever want, because all of us would be in big trouble with that, wouldn't we? It's a lot of things we want and we shouldn't have. But listen to Psalm 84, starting in verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. God chose to call himself Jehovah Rohi. Christ called himself the Good Shepherd. He sees it as a mission, his personal mission, to meet your need. When you find yourself in need, go to your shepherd. There is no need that he cannot supply. If you're lacking wisdom, go to your shepherd. If you're lacking finances, go to your shepherd. If your need is comfort, go to your shepherd. If your need is healing, go to your shepherd. If your need is emotional, go to your shepherd. Because every need that you have, he will meet that need and fill it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He enables me to go to a place where I am nourished, where I am fulfilled, where I am provided with everything. He leads me beside still waters. In the Hebrew, for still waters, it's peaceful, quiet, rest, consolation. He doesn't lead me into the storm. I mean, there are times we go through storms in my life, in our lives. But the shepherd said, I will take you to the still waters where it's quiet, restful, peaceful, consoling. The verse claims, he restores my soul. We've all had deeply troubled times. Times where there was no rest for your soul. Times when you're just troubled. Times when you feel defeated. Times when you feel like you lost all hope. Times where you feel like you can barely cope and your soul is troubled. We all have been there. And God says, I have a restoration for your soul. I will take that soul that is troubled, that's keeping you up at night, that's just keeping your stomach churning and all those things that are happening. I will take that soul and I will restore it back to restoration. I'll make it well and comforted and consoling and peaceful. This psalm promises that when Jehovah Raha is your shepherd, you shall not want. It paints you a picture of being led to green pastures of provision, still waters of rest, pools and streams of refreshing for restoration. And then he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. God's leading, God's guiding is always going to put you towards righteousness. And you understand that God will lead you in righteousness for your benefit and for his name's sake. There is always a purpose in God's name. There's always a purpose in his name. Doesn't it strike you that he'll lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake? See, he sees you as one of his. You belong to him. In all of his glory, his leading will lead you to glorify him in everything that you do for his name's sake. Even Jesus, when he realized his time was at hand, prayed this, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. John 12:28. Father, glorify your name. All that I do, I want to bring you glory. God will lead you in righteousness for his name's sake and for your benefit. And while this psalm declares protection and provision, it also recognizes that you have dark and troubled times. It's a wonderful psalm because it says, hey, I'm going to take you and I'm going to lead you out to nourishment and still waters and green pastures, and provision. And he says, and wouldn't that be a wonderful picture if that's all that we ever were? Just let you know, but God says, that's not all there is to life. There are times where you have problems. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'm going to read you that same passage, or some of the, a little more of it actually, out of a book called Psalms Now. It's a very contemporary commentary, and that's all it is, very contemporary. But listen to it this way. He is by my side. He is ever present with me. He's close beside me when I tread the dark streets of danger. And even when I flirt with death itself, he will never leave me. And when the pain is severe, he is near to comfort. And when the burden is heavy, he is there to lean upon. When life finds you in a dark valley, in dangerous streets, the enemies threaten you, run to Jehovah Raha, your shepherd, knowing that he knows what you're going through. And he wants to take you from that street of danger, from that troubled time, and take you back and nourish you. But know there are some times you have to go through it. He wants to lead you back to that pasture of restoration. And remember how David went out after the lion and the bear and attacked his sheep? That's a picture of Jehovah Rohi. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The shepherd never left. Shepherd didn't take him out in the pasture and say, well, you know, I'll be back in a couple days. Help yourself. Die to not get in any trouble. Behave yourself. Don't wander off. No, he stayed with them. If he needed to pull them back, he pulled them back. Whatever they had the problem with, and wherever they were at, he said they were with him. Your rod and staff comfort him. Shepherd had a staff to guide the sheep, the rod to protect the sheep. At night, when David would bring the sheep back and brought it back in the fold, he would take his rod and he'd count every sheep as they passed under the rod to make sure that none was missing. Ever watchful, ever protector, ever guiding. See, a good shepherd never lets his attention stray from his sheep. A good shepherd knows what his sheep is up to, knows what's happening, never takes his eyes off of that sheep. And there's a good reason for that. You know what sheep are you know what they're known to do, what sheep do all the time? I mean, we're all sheep. That's just a reality. It's summed up in an old hymn. And the old hymn actually has a very contemporary version right now by Jaden Lavick, I think is how you pronounce his name. Come thou fount of every blessing. It's a great old hymn, a great contemporary version. But there's a verse in it that just so strikes me. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Prone to wander. Sheep wander. And we know that. We're prone to come in here on Sunday and, Lord, I love you and I worship you. And we may get up tomorrow morning and do the same thing and spend some time in the Word. But sometime throughout the day, we'll tend to kind of begin to wander off a little bit. Something will grab our attention or something. And if we're not careful, suddenly we've wandered for a week or a month or a period of time in our lives. And thank God that we have a shepherd who says, nobody can snatch you out of my hand. You know, did you ever go someplace in a very busy, crowded area when your kids were little? You didn't just hope they walked by your hand. You made sure you had their hand, didn't you? You watched them because, you know, kids are prone to wander. And I bet a bunch of us here, Chris and I have been through this a couple times. You know, your kid's right by your side and you get caught up in looking at something and all of a sudden you realize, where'd they go? How many have been through that? You know, and your heart kind of skips a beat and you spend 5, 10, 15 minutes running through like an amusement park or a store and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, why? We're prone to wander. I'm so glad that God never let go of my hand, that I'm in this shepherd's grip. Now, the enemy can't snatch you out of God's hand. But, you know, we can let go of God's hand. We can. Yeah. I remember my kids doing this. You ever have your kid by the hand, and they just want to do something, and they start twisting your hand. They're trying to get loose. They want to go look at something and take off, you know. And they just, come on, you know, I want my freedom. I want to do this. And I think we do that with God sometimes. See, it all goes back to saying, Jehovah is my shepherd. I will be submitted to him. And there's so many promises we don't even have time to cover in the psalm that what happens with that. But we can all wander off. I remember a couple years back, a dear pastor friend of mine called, and one of the members in his church had an 18-year-old that was just being rebellious. And they'd been praying for him. He'd been in church, been involved in a youth group, and he just got rebellious, and he got out there. And he said they'd been concerned for him. And he got a call one night. This 18-year-old was found staggering down a street, not drinking or partying, walking down a street staggering, and somebody stopped by in the town and offered him a ride. He wouldn't take it, just in rebellion. So that person left and called the sheriff. And before the sheriff could get there, that kid was hit and killed by a car. Tragic, 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 tragic. Somewhere along the line, he had wrestled his grip from God's hand and stepped out on his own, was no longer proclaiming God as his shepherd. It's tragedy. We can all do that. I think letting go to God's hand is very dangerous. Allowing him to hold your hand. Because when God's holding my hand, he will lead me. He will guide me. He will protect me. David knew to continue to confess, Jehovah is his shepherd. And this is why he can confess to verse 5 and the following. Because he's my shepherd, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a promise. What a promise. Just to know Jehovah is your shepherd. Let's stand together.